to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Give it to me straight.
There's a place to find all the answers.
AMFM Shortwave Talk Radio.
The truth is.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. We'll take your calls here into this hour, 800-313-9443. Reading this article by a gentleman by the name of Kevin Smith. He's an older gentleman. Not to be confused, there's a whole lot of Kevin Smiths out there. At any rate, Bill Gates' latest version of Windows is called Vista. It is one of the most serious atrocities ever foisted upon the public in terms of its death knell for internet broadcasting. In order for a broadcaster to broadcast live via the internet, the computer system must be able to do both playback and record at the same time. The playback side of the process outputs recorded files such as bumper music, commercials, etc. And the record side, or record side rather, outputs the microphones and the telephones. If you disable either side, you've killed the broadcast. This is exactly what Vista does. I've been told by a couple of software engineers that it is designed to not be able to output playback and record simultaneously. It's been purposely crippled, they said. It was explained to me that this crippling of the new Windows system, Vista, was not an accident. My sources say it was done on purpose in order to fix the DMR, or the digital media rights. There is no fix for this crippling either. When you purchase a PC, you are now forced to buy Vista, that is loaded into your PCs. If you're purchasing the computer for the purpose of broadcasting, you're out of business. If you can't, it can't do it, period. It's just the way the program was designed. As time goes on, computers that are broadcasting now will have to be replaced. With Windows XP no longer being supported, and that is coming, Vista will be the only available operating system, the OS, available from Microsoft. That means that online broadcasters will go out of business by attrition. Now, thankfully, there's a community of people out there who have been warning of the potential downside of Microsoft software for a very, very long time. They are the open source community, and their primary operating system choice is Linux. As of right now, if you're planning on broadcasting via the internet, and you have just purchased the computer to do so, be advised that Bill Gates has determined you cannot. They say that Linux is where freedom resides. I had a copy of XP, thankfully, that I could install on my new computer, but if you do not have a copy of previous Windows systems, your only hope for being able to broadcast is to leave the control freaks at Microsoft and opt for the freedom of Linux. Problem with Linux is only the computer geeks understand it. And I'm talking about real hardcore computer people. So just be aware, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, this is an ongoing process for them. You know, if you pull the plug like right now, people are going to take note. But if you make it increasingly difficult for people to do broadcasting, say, over the internet, in this particular case, we're a full satellite radio network, but a lot of people avail themselves of the use of the internet to do programming on this network. Do yourself a favor, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure that you still have those old operating disks for Windows, Windows 98, whatever. Save those disks. You may need them in the future. Guard them as if they're gold, because they very well may turn out to be just that. We'll be right back.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, let's go to the phones. John in Michigan. Hello, John.
Good morning, or good afternoon, John.
How you doing?
Good, and you're feeling better?
The virus that's out there that spread throughout this entire country simultaneously.
Oh yeah, I'm on my third and a half week already.
Are you?
It's all in my chest.
Yep.
And it's nothing but just constant, coughing, periods. But
are you standing outside?
Yes, I am.
Okay, the wind noise is hitting your microphone.
Okay, I'll go in.
Thank you.
Okay, a couple of things. You brought up Microsoft. Well, I was on Walter Burian's site, and he's the gentleman that exposed the Comprehensive Annual Financial Fund. And the government is a major stockholder in Microsoft. I think they have over 60% of the stock. And they also, remember when Clinton was in office, he filed suit against Microsoft, and I think him and Soros or Buffett, they took all of their money and put it in some kind of trust to protect themselves from taxes, and so that's who's really running Microsoft, from my opinion.
Yeah, when he coughs up $125 million, he's lauded as being a great benefactor and whatever else. No. This guy, I mean, John, anybody that's got that much power is allowed to garner that much power because he's one of the useful idiots.
Well, he also is a major financier of the worldwide inoculation program for children.
Mm-hmm.
That's how loving he is.
Yep.
And but I also wanted to let you know, John, and the people around the country, that our governor wants to eliminate our townships in our state.
And Jennifer Granholm?
Oh, yes. Another one of her great ideas, the Canadian that she is.
And she wants to do exactly what again?
Eliminate our townships.
And what's the magical reasoning for doing this?
Well, then everything would come right from the state as far as control goes.
Does that eliminate township, just township, or is that eliminating county to be run by the state?
Well, probably both. There's a meeting at the same spot where you visited a couple of years back, John, in Central Lake tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be more information about it after that. Kent McNeil is the one who has this organized, but it was done in a secret type of setting down in Lansing, and it's another control grab of the local of people, but it's not going to happen, I'm sure, with the people that we have up here to resist it.
Well, and she's following in lockstep with the privatization issue, like Governor Rick Perry is down here with selling off the state lottery.
That was presented here too.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. She's in lockstep with Perry, and down here they just came out with a story. I read it in the paper the other day. That the record of the Texas State Lottery is it's been in business, I think, for 9 years now, and it has produced $1 billion worth of revenue for the state for all of those years. $1 billion a year. Now, how much of that is actually put into education? I wouldn't want to think that here in Texas that $1 billion couldn't run the entire school system. As with anything else, it's kind of thrown into a fund, and of course it's robbed for any purposes whatsoever. But why would you want to get rid of, and I don't remember the numbers offhand, but I read the numbers on Michigan's lottery, and she's saying that there's $850 million deficit, and well, the lotto had just brought in, I think, $675 million.
Well, at least that. It's a very profitable institution that they have here established in the state. And they keep coming up with more games. No, it's all being driven by Agenda 21, John. But
yeah.
I just wanted to let you know, I'll keep you updated on this. And Kent will, too. He's at the VA hospital in Detroit right now. So,
all right.
I just wanted to let people know that it might be coming to a neighborhood soon to you.
All right. If you can, if you would, John, when you run across these news stories or these articles, can you email them to me, please?
I certainly will.
All right.
So God bless you.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your call. Yeah. Yeah, it's privatization, folks, because, you know, quite frankly, the government, it just can't be bothered with such. I mean, this was. The state's lotteries were an absolute gold mine. Okay, the only thing that they had to do, it was hire some CPAs. The companies would go in, install the terminals, and the people would line up to buy their lotto tickets. Pretty simple. Didn't need masses of people because here was the hook. Okay, if you retailers, you had to have a lotto machine because people wanted to play the lotto. Okay, well, they give them a certain percentage, not that much, out of a winning ticket that hit, and that was their inducement for it. It brought foot traffic in, you know, kind of like the loss leader in retail. Okay, you'll see stores that'll run stuff for at cost, maybe a little bit below cost, just to get you in the door, hoping you buy something else. Well, if you think about it, they've got this complete infrastructure on the backs of private business. And they are the retailers of the lotto tickets. What a system. Costs very little to run. Generates millions, or in Texas, at least here in Texas, every year since its inception, $1 billion a year. That's not chump change. What other industry do you know that's been set up? That's been set up with little or no expense on the state side. It's because you got a bunch of private people in there running it. But no, they weren't satisfied with that. Under the guise, it would mean a boom, just an absolute cash boom for these states to sell it off into private hands. The private individuals would throw a big chunk of change at you at first, and then after a while, that's it. They get all the revenues. Well, then what little cash cow would they use to fund the schools, I wonder? But here again, it's the selling off, governmental controlled. Here's the key. It's just not selling off of government-oriented things. It'd be one thing for them to say, well, we're going to get out of the power business, we're going to get out of the water filtration, we're going to get out of sewage treatment, water treatment, whatever. Now we're just going to get out of it. The private sector, being more competitive, could do a better job. That's not what this is about. It's a basic corporate takeover, and the entities are not even American, folks. They're foreign. So when you owe the rest of the planet more than you could possibly produce in the next 500 years, the only thing you have left to get rid of are, that's right, real estate and business. Yeah, you sell a country trillions of dollars worth of useless debt money paper, and how are they supposed to recoup? Oh, you can keep them satisfied by paying them an interest on the deal, but the principal is never touched, nor will it be ever touched. You know, this was a great concern about China. Oh, we can't be too hard on the Chinese. The Chinese, ladies and gentlemen, are not going to do anything directly toward the United States, and I'll tell you the reason why. They're making billions of dollars a year right out of the American consumer's pocketbook through the box stores and all the products they ship in here into this country duty-free. There's their payoff. Do you think these politicians in Washington, D.C. gave the most favored nation status to China just out of the goodness of their heart? Well, these guys are avowed communists, and they don't like us very much, but as long as that cash is still flowing. And people are suggesting that, well, China, we might box China into a corner, and, well, they'll demand their money and all of these T-bills and all this money, this debt they're holding for the United States, only if they're stupid. Only if they're extremely stupid and they have other markets out there that they can at least derive equal or greater amount of funds off of the slave labor goods that are sold in other countries. They're not stupid. They're building a modern military by people going to Wally World, for God's sakes. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible to sit back and watch this go on. You know, I have a friend of mine who called me the other day and talking about labor unions. Oh, they're not happy about this and that. And I said, well, really? Gee, when did the labor unions finally decide that people have not been working for their interest, the government has not been working for their interest, or the interest of the American people? When did this epiphany, when did this bolt of lightning out of the blue strike them in their little craniums and all of a sudden they got some sense? We only have about 15% of the manufacturing left to sell off. The magic number now is 85%. 85% of the manufacturing in this country has been sold off or is in foreign hands or literally sitting in a foreign country. At what point were the labor unions going to start to get a little upset about this? It just fascinates me, you know, that you know, like I said, Dan, I'd rather, I saw him the other night. You'd think that he'd come out with something bombastic to say, something to really shake people up. No, he's running his show on HDNet, more propaganda from the propaganda master himself. Yeah, you can get the 75-year-old in high definition now telling you lies, and it's all in perfect digital clarity and perfect digital picture. 800-313-9443. Folks, we'll take the break. We'll intersperse your phone calls within the body of the balance of this program.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you, from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
You know, folks, we pay attention to printed material, and especially official governmental documentation. The Idaho Observer, on their front page, on their February 19th edition, ran an article, "America's Perpetual State of Emergency," and what they put in here was the actual report the Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency, United States Senate, and its emergency power statutes. And it says right in the document itself, and I believe this is, I wish they would have used bigger print on this deal, but I think this was November 18th of 1979 that this report came out. And it says in the foreword, "Since March 9th of 1933, the United States has been a state of declared national emergency." Notice the word at the beginning, "since March 9th of 1933. In fact, there are now, in effect, four presidentially proclaimed states of national emergency in addition to the national emergency declared by President Roosevelt in 1933. There are also national emergencies proclaimed by President Truman on December 16, 1950, during the Korean conflict, and the states of national emergency declared by President Nixon on March 23, 1970, and August 15, 1971. These proclamations give force to 470 provisions of federal law. These hundreds of statutes delegate to the president extraordinary powers, it says, ordinarily exercised by the Congress, which affect the lives of American citizens in a host of all-encompassing manners. This vast range of powers taken together confer enough authority to rule the country without reference to normal constitutional processes. Under the powers delegated by these statutes, the president may seize property, organize and control the means of production, seize commodities, assign military forces abroad, initiate martial law, seize and control all transportation and communications, regulate the operation of private enterprise, restrict travel, and is a plethora of particular ways control the lives of all American citizens. And turning to the introduction, we find a brief historical sketch of the origins of the emergency powers now in force. The majority of the people of the United States have lived all their lives under emergency rule for 40 years. Freedoms and governmental procedures guaranteed by the Constitution have, in varying degrees, been abridged by law brought into force by states of national emergency. And we have been in a continual state of national emergency since March 9th of 1933. You know, we talk about the ever-increasing powers of the Fed usurping states' rights. Well, there's a reason, folks, and I just read it to you. Declare an emergency, the president takes on all kinds of powers through the executive, cuts Congress out. People get all upset when, well, we wage war on foreign countries without the consent of Congress or a vote. It's here. You want to privatize stuff? You want to take control of private business or private enterprise? You have disdain and no regard for property? Oh, geez, what have we just seen the United States Supreme Court rule on? And like an eminent domain. Well, we have the right. We can do that. That negates the very principles of this country, ladies and gentlemen. Ownership, property, keep your hands off. No regulations. No stipulations, no cutting the corners, not telling me what I can do with my own property. That is one of the basis. It's one of the basis of life here in America. Private property, and just not soil, folks, okay? Just not earth, not just ground or dirt. Private property. Anything that you own, anything you possess, up to and including your very life. Most Americans are familiar with the political term state of emergency. Within the context of how the government behaves once declaring a state of emergency in response to natural disasters, Katrina. Most of the generally dumb public out there, oh, FEMA's getting involved. Oh, Michael Chertoff's getting involved. Well, kind of, sort of. Well, that was a declared emergency. In walked the Fed. Well, that's not a bad thing. There was people that were flooded out, and there was people that died. And well, what's wrong with the using those emergency powers? However, states of emergency can arbitrarily be declared for any number of reasons. An example is how legislatures commonly declare states of emergency to suspend parliamentary due process for expedited passage of laws relevant to addressing the emergency. The common thread linking such states of emergency is the imposition of martial authority upon the suspension of peacetime criminal and civil authority. Let me stop here. Why do you think down in New Orleans they were going door to door, not passing out food or water or asking if people wanted to be evacuated? They were showing up to grab firearms. That's what happens when you have a declared state of emergency. You can't let the populace just running around loose and having them armed. That's hallmarks of free people that says, keep your hands off my property and me. We'll break here, come back. Is there nobody listening to the show today? How many times I put out the 800 number? Maybe we should just play music for the balance of the show. What do you think? You need a break? You need a break, Manny? Want to go get some lunch? Hell, we can both go get some lunch. Computer will fire it automatically.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
The common thread linking such states of emergency is the imposition of martial authority upon the suspension of peacetime criminal and civil authority. In plain language, ladies and gentlemen, during a declared state of emergency, the duly enacted laws of a police society no longer apply. The law of the jungle, dominance and submission, is militarily enforced at gunpoint. That left is a slightly enhanced page, as I just read, and I'm reading from the front page of the Idaho Observer, that what I'd read you, the Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency in the United States Senate, it never happened. This, as I read, from November of 1979, yeah, they do a little committee on it. They come up with some very potent and powerful language, and then it goes nowhere. Now, the report, as I read, from the Senate Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency, November 1973. The committee acknowledges that the U.S. has been in a declared state of emergency since March 9th of 1933. Researchers have demonstrated that the emergency is our national state of declared bankruptcy, and all laws being passed and enforced are being passed under the auspices of emergency procedures. We don't notice the emergency, which has never been rescinded, because this is the way the government has been operating ever since March 9th of 1933. How many years do we have to have an anniversary, a 100-year anniversary with this puppy? Lester in Ohio. Hello. Good afternoon,
I'm
sir.
I'm listening to you. Actually, I'm tape recording it. I tried backing you up so I could get more of what you're talking about. But I'm sitting here reading my paper, and there's a guy named Tom Child. He was a 22-year-old Navy ensign aboard the destroyer USS Casson, DD-372. Well, this was in Pearl Harbor. And he was giving a speech about how Roosevelt knew about Pearl Harbor at the local, it was in Perrysburg, at the American Legion meeting. And there's an article here about it. It doesn't say if he said anything about what's going on today. It just, you know, the only thing they wrote about was, I wasn't there. I'm just reading what's in the paper here, but.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's the
he's out there trying to wake up the people is what I'm.
Yeah, at the Gulf of Tonkin. It doesn't matter if it was Vietnam. It doesn't matter if it was World War I, World War II. It doesn't matter if it was Korea. It doesn't matter if it was Iraq and Afghanistan and the war on terrorism. And, oh, by the way, we got to go get those weapons of mass destruction. All lies to get us involved into foreign affairs, which we shouldn't be in.
And I realize all this here. I was just trying to make the point that they're, you know, all my uncles, they were all World War II veterans, my dad and all my uncles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got a book that's got all their names in it and all the veterans from World War II in Defiance County. And, you know, it lists all the people that were there. And, well, I had a couple uncles that were too young to go to war, but most all of my uncles, I had Uncle Cotton. He was he was actually being flown back in a plane when they found out he was still alive. He was being shipped back as a dead corpse, and they found him alive. And I don't know if he was in a coffin or what, you know. But my family had paid its casualties in World War II.
I understand.
Right, and. But what I'm saying is I don't know if this guy, maybe I need to contact him. But other than that, this month they're having town hall meetings all over because of something to do with the Freedom of Speech Act,
uh-huh.
or the Freedom of Information Act, rather,
uh-huh.
where the government ain't taking releasing information. They're only 20% of the government's doing what they're supposed to be doing.
It's probably even worse than that. Hey, I thank you for your call, Lester.
Yeah, you was complaining because nobody is calling in, so I thought, I better call in.
Well, it's just bad. I mean, a lot of people listen to this program, and when you put out the call-in number three times and nobody calls, it makes you sound like nobody's listening to you.
Well, maybe they're trying to double task like me. I'm trying to listen to you, trying to record you, trying to read the paper, trying to study.
And I can hear the tape delay or the internet broadcast in the background.
Yeah, it's in the background.
All right, Lester, thank you. Appreciate your call. John in Minnesota. Hello, John.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Yeah, on the computers. Yes, most assuredly. The best operating system would likely be the Windows 98. You'll notice that as you get more and more, quote, advanced, end quote, on your computers, it takes more and more horsepower, so to speak. In other words, they're faster, and the registers in there are wider, et cetera, which are terms people don't understand. But anyhow, we'll say more horsepower. Dramatically so. The reason for that is because of the sloppy excuse for programming. Your C++ program is about an abomination stacked on an abomination. A decent machine-level program would use a few kilobytes. These things use megabytes. And now we're talking about gigabytes in our hard drive. I can remember when we were thrilled when we got an 8-megabyte hard drive. We thought we had arrived. And I can remember way back when we got 64 kilobytes of memory for a supercomputer, and we thought we had died and gone to heaven.
I understand.
So the point being is, yes, yea and verily, do keep your Windows 98 and do get the upgrades to it and store them. Now, you won't be able to get those from Blindows anymore because Blundering Windows does not support Windows 98 anymore. But most assuredly, you've got to understand who Mr. Bill Gates is. And you have to understand that he worships over there at that curious little affair that they have in Northern California each year. You know, how much more do I need to say?
I understand.
But do the people understand? You know, and I don't want to say any more because I don't want you to get your Heine Hum sued off because he's got infinitely deep pockets now as a multi-billionaire that the people have made him into. For instance, you can use WordPerfect, which was the original program, which just happened to look exactly like their Office that came out. Why, what a coincidence. And I went back and I checked the language that was in the original program that MS came out with, and lo and behold, what do I see? Aha! The language that was in WordPerfect. And I'll grant you, WordPerfect had its problems, etc. But if you use Windows and you suffer under it, blame yourself, because there are other programs. And as far as Linux is concerned, Linspire, L-I-N-S-P-I-R-E, Inspired Linux, in other words, Linspire.com is a good place. Go look. You can download the program free for nothing and fly it. See how it flies for you.
All righty. John, I thank you for your call.
Yep.
All right.
Bye.
Dylan in Texas. Hello, Dylan.
Good day, John.
How you doing?
FYI, I tried to call in earlier and I didn't get an answer. Just rang and rang. Anyway, I just wanted to comment on the lottery machines. I was working in a convenience store back in 93 and we got the lottery machines in here in Austin. And especially on lottery night, it really added to the labor, our labors. Took a lot of time and energy to process all them lottery tickets. And did you say that there's no evidence showing that money's being used for its intended purposes?
Well, they put some money in, but I never see the figures of what. And supposedly these lotteries were set up for one thing and one thing only originally, and that was to fund the school systems, which was a brilliant idea. Okay, spend a buck on a chance to be a millionaire, and what the heck if you don't lose? Most people that play the lottery never expect to win anyhow. But the majority of the money, when it was first started, the majority of the money was going into the school systems. But I don't know what the school budget is for the schools here in Texas, but I would think that $1 billion might just run it.
Well, it should. But I don't know about those figures. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that I know firsthand that a lot of extra man hours of energy just simply at working at a convenience store goes to sell them lottery tickets.
Yeah, I've noticed, and the retailers do it willingly because, like I said, it's kind of like a loss leader. Even though that you're paying somebody to man that terminal when they're not ringing people up for sales of other retail items, that's still a way to draw people into their place of business.
Well, I wanted to mention something else, John. It's about your network, and it's about the sponsors. I've bought a number of things, and they all work. One is the Aeronizer. It really works. It really cleans up the air. It'll eat mildew off of windowsills, depending on how much mildew you're talking about. but it really works.
That's what we endeavor to do, is give you things that work. No nonsense, no stuff, just it works.
And y'all sell the Berkeys, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've got one of them. I got a long time ago, so I hadn't gotten it from y'all, but I did get it from the lady who sells them anyway. What else have I gotten from y'all? Oh, yeah, just recently I got another sponsor has the energy cleaner. I've been sleeping with that thing hooked up to my bed for about a week now, and my neck injury is a lot better. I used to have to always sleep with a special neck pillow, and the first thing in the morning I have to get up and adjust my neck vertebrae, you know, quote-unquote crack my neck, and I haven't had to do that for about a week now.
We endeavor, we don't sell out, we endeavor to give you the best stuff. I appreciate your call. Thank you, Dylan.
All right, thank you.
All righty. Mike in Kentucky.
Oh man, he's making me feel guilty.
Why is that?
I've been trying to put money aside and buy one of those Berkey filters for I don't know how long. I want one of the shower filters too, that because your skin is like the third kidney.
Yep.
And so that's the way to, you know, stop a lot of that stuff when you take a shower.
Yeah, and it's just not only chlorine, it's whatever other creepy crawlers might be in the water.
Well, and the byproducts of chlorine, it creates other chemicals, and then the fluoride and all that.
Yeah.
But anyway, on the computer, on the old rule of thumb that I was taught in broadcasting school is that on a local call-in talk show on the radio, for every caller you have probably at least 100 people listening that you never hear from. The Internet has thrown that all out the window. I think it's probably more like who knows how many thousands per every caller. But I have seen Wikipedia and some other web pages that really put down people like Derry Brownfield is not significant, and I think they're ignorant. But
how can you say a guy that has 70 radio stations out there in America is not significant?
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen the page that I'm referring to, that where they basically say that they deleted his page because they said he wasn't as significant, and neither was his network, and that was a reference to GCN, I think. But
well, and this network, we carry him simultaneously on both.
I know. I listen to him just about every chance I get, and he always is covers a great amount of stuff. He takes calls from even other countries. So,
mm-hmm.
But I think
Wikipedia is insignificant.
I think you're right. But, you know, I use them for a reference only, as a way to look for other stuff, you know, that maybe I didn't think of. But
right.
They're prone to lots of errors. Well, anyway, on the computer thing, the XP is probably going to be more reliable than Vista for a very long time. The problem, unless you do go with some kind of third-party Windows or some kind of Linux-based system, is that the firewalls, which you cannot get on the Internet for any length of time without a firewall, and a lot of the support software like that is pulled their support for Windows ME and XP. I was a diehard XP second edition and Windows ME user. I hated to go, finally, I had to go to XP because the firewall that I use and the antivirus that I use no longer was going to do any support for that.
Right.
And I would encourage people to try the free version of SpyBot and the free version of Zone Alarm. Although Zone Alarm has a spy program built into it that reports back to all the web pages that you surf. So, you know, it's you have no reasonable expectation of privacy on the Internet. So if you're doing stuff that you wouldn't want everybody to know about, you're going to get, and I wouldn't recommend to anybody do online banking or anything like that. If you're going to do some kind of eBay or whatever, have a totally separate debit card and account for that has a limit.
Yeah, we use PayPal quite a bit, and every once in a while we'll get the email supposedly from PayPal, but
yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's people trying to scam your information. They want you to verify and update your records.
Yeah.
And even PayPal themselves is highly upset about this, but they can't shut them down because these guys crop up like bacteria.
Well, I would mention a web page where you can get a lot of the computer and security type information, but they've gone over to the other side, so I won't do that. But there are some good computers and security collections of stories about all the security holes that there are. And if you're working for a boss that demands you do direct deposit, you need to send them some links to all this problems that there are with electronic banking and people losing their identities and even government offices getting hit by four-year-old Trojan horse programs that should have been eliminated a long time ago.
And understood.
We had that in Kentucky just about 6 weeks ago. Hundreds of offices could not issue driver's licenses because they get hit with a four-year-old Trojan horse program.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Bye-bye. I appreciate it. Yeah, yes, we're all vulnerable, ladies and gentlemen. You know, there are ways to take care of these sorts of things. And I've discovered a lot of these firewalls are the problems themselves. And what if these firewalls, for everything that you're saying you're emailing to your friends or an email tree or whatever, that in fact this thing is not being used as a back door for the information to go right over to the Fed? You know, we've already demonstrated that that's exactly what they're doing, data mining. So who's to say that the firewall that you're using is not actually a backdoor approach to funneling that information over to the Fed? You know, what we need, again, ladies and gentlemen, are honest government, honest people in government. Honest people will watch out for honest citizens trying to do an honest thing. But we're all terrorists, folks. Keep that in mind. Bill in Alaska. Hello, Bill.
Hello, John. How are you today?
Good, sir.
A couple of things I wanted to mention. One of them is a blog spot that I found that the guy has just got some incredible stuff on there. And it's called freedomguide.blogspot.com. And he has one in particular that I thought was really fantastic called A Message to Mr. and Mrs. America. And the gentleman's name is J. Period Croft, C-R-O-F-T. And you can Google that.
Can you email that over to me?
I'm sorry?
I said, can you email that over to me?
I sure can.
Okay.
JohnStatmiller@hotmail.com. Got it. And the other thing is, and I hate to light a firecracker this late in the show, but I wanted to ask you if you would comment a little bit, especially from the point of view of a broadcaster, about the implications. You know, we talk about the voting box, and we talk about, you know, the jury box. But when it comes to the cartridge box, we do an awful lot of self-censorship. And I understand some of the implications of why that is. But I've never heard anybody, you know, in the broadcasting business address it. And I was wondering if, you know, if you had any comments, since it's so late in the show. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, late to get into it, but I was wondering if you would have any comments about that.
As far as what? I don't understand, Bill. What are you looking for here?
I'm having an awful lot of trouble hearing you. I'm talking about fighting back.
And Bill, I'll give you the short thumbnail on that one. Before we go to the cartridge box, we got to make sure that we explore other possibilities, whether it's the jury box or the soap box, which that's what this network is. It's a giant soap box.
Right.
But to exhaust all other possibilities, because until such time that we're strong enough that we got to go to that cartridge box, that it doesn't turn in just for a free-for-all and we all have bullseyes on our backside.
Right.
Because that would be one way to offer up the real salt of the earth, the real people that would put their lives on the line for their country.
Understand.
All right, and that's my thumbnail sketch on it.
Okay.
We've got to explore everything that we possibly can. The New World Order crowd, and especially this government right now, would just love an armed insurrection. It very well may come to that, and people do not understand that, Bill, that it may come down to a shooting war for our lives, our property, and our very country.
Right.
And I, for one, have never discounted that, but I've tried to work. Nobody wants a bloody war. Nobody wants blood running in the gutters in America 2 inches deep. Nobody wants
Nor
to see,
do I.
Yeah, nobody wants to see this. But my position about this has always been that we will use whatever we have available for right now until
right.
we have to go to that cartridge box.
My concern is that by the time we get there, we're not going to have the cartridges, the box, or
well,
the guns.
And without deriding the Patriot movement in this country, I will say this, that we've not done a very good job of promoting ourselves, getting more people plugged into these networks to listen to the message that's important. They need to hear the facts. They need to hear what's going on, and then it's easier for them to make up their mind as to what action they're going to take next.
No argument there. Okay,
right.
John,
thanks.
Appreciate you taking my call. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill. Mike in Maryland, we got a roll here. Hello, Mike.
Hey, yeah, thank you very much. I haven't called in a while. I want to talk. I went to the peace march at the Pentagon. I was with my group, www.dc911truth.org, and you can see my gray head on the if you go to a video site, we got a picture in front of us from the White House with signs saying 9/11 was an inside job, about a dozen of us there. But I bought about $120 worth of stuff from RBN a couple of months ago, and I told them, well, go ahead and add an extra $30 on there. Bought KA77 radio, which works fine. I got the Desi Andrews collection of her archives.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got an RBN T-shirt. I tell you, nothing turns heads like being in downtown D.C. in Bethesda, walking in a restaurant with a 9/11 was an inside job T-shirt with RBN Live on the back of it. You, boy, I could feel their eyes glaring right through me. But
by the way, I wore that, and I have never, and here's a little bit. I've never seen the Rolling Stones before. I've heard them on radio since the early 60s. Never went to one of their concerts. I went to one of their concerts last year wearing that exact shirt, and man, did I get some nasty comments. But I also got comments that told me, yeah, right on, man, we know.
I saw them in 1973 when I was in Germany on a station in the Army. But I was, God dang, what was I going to say? Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, that march was weird because I was with my group, and me and this other guy are holding a 9/11 is an inside job, a two-man sign, and all along, it was like a gauntlet. He had these lowlifes that called themselves veterans, I guess most of them were, hurling insults at us, calling us every name in the book.
I actually saw a news clip on television telling you to go get a job, you know, things of that nature. I actually saw that clip on television being played.
And I went in, was carrying one of our 9/11 inside job signs, and I wasn't baiting the people, and I was just kind of like more or less trying to talk to them, and I couldn't reason with hardly any of them. I'm almost certain some of them were agent provocateurs.
Yeah, you should.
They had to have been.
Yeah. Yeah, I went up to Waco when Cindy Sheehan was up there last year, and I was talking to the townspeople, and I got to tell you what, these people were pro-George Bush. The whole town, they had portraits of George Bush all over the place. And it was just absolutely sickening. You could not talk to these people.
It's well, people just brainwash, and it's so pathetic. I had trouble believing that there would be a significant contingent of people that would gleefully wear brown shirts and put on Homeland Security armbands and herd fellow Americans into internment camps.
Yeah.
Now there's no doubt in my mind there's a significant number of people that would do that.
I mean, it's shades of Nazi Germany in the brown shirts there.
It is the brainwash. And also, there's something liberating about wearing a 9/11 inside job T-shirt and going down an escalator, a very long escalator, at DuPont Circle carrying a 9/11 with an inside job T-shirt and looking at the stairs from the yuppies as they're going up.
Hey, thanks for your call, Mike. Appreciate it. We have 8 other calls here. I can't get 2 because, and I even skipped the last commercial break because you guys didn't call in when I put out the number in the first place. So thank you for calling in, but next time I put out the number, don't make me look like a damn fool that we don't get any calls. Just have just me on the air. We know you're out there. We can hear you breathing. And folks, if we're going to do anything to turn this around, we need more boots on the ground. And Bill up in Alaska, I'm going to talk more about the cartridge box in future shows. All right, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. You got it.